Tonight and turn to the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. We're going to read the first 10 verses tonight. Then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Be praying for the pastor. Pray he gets his voice back very soon. And I know it's no fun. It certainly wouldn't be any fun going on vacation without a voice. So pray you get that back soon. Hopefully it won't be that severe. Pray for the rest of his family as well, for their healing and so forth and their safety. And then all these that were mentioned tonight. All right, Galatians chapter number 6. Good to see each of you this evening. I'm praising God for the rain, even though I know it makes it difficult on some. But we need, God knows what we need. Amen? All right, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one with a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And tonight I'm preaching on that thought, as we have therefore opportunity, looking for opportunities. Let's pray. Loving God, Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. And thank you for the blessings that have been ours this day. To take an opportunity to be a blessing to others, to encourage some, maybe to be praying for each other, bearing each other's burdens, and so fulfilling the law of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for those who are here tonight, and especially we thank you for the Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus who walks in the midst of the church. To thee we give praise and glory tonight. As we come to you, Lord, we ask your blessings upon all these requests that have been shared tonight before we worship you in song. We lay them all before your feet tonight, especially those who have loved ones who have went out into eternity. Give grace to them. And for those, Lord, who are still facing sickness and maybe even near death, we pray for grace in abundance tonight. For those who have cancer, those who have COVID, those who are struggling in other areas, we pray, Father, for your grace to each of them. And we ask, Father, for your healing according to your will. And Father, we ask now, Lord, that you would take charge of our thoughts. And I would also pray tonight, Lord, for those who could not be here this evening. We pray, Father, for the membership of this church, that you will help them, Lord, to draw near to you. And may the Holy Spirit minister to their hearts even tonight as we open the Word of God. We do thank you, Father, that we ourselves are feeling so much better. I give you all the praise and the glory, and thank you for the power of prayer and for all those who prayed for me. And even tonight, Lord, I thank you. I give you praise for it, just to be able to stand tonight. Also, Father, for all the meetings that have been coming our way, we rejoice tonight and thank you for the opportunities that you've been placing in our path. We do pray, Father, that we can be a blessing wherever we go. We thank you, Lord, tonight for Brother Jeffrey Brown and his wife being here with us. Always good to see their faces and see their family growing and having these little children and raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I do pray, Father, for their safety as they travel around. And we just ask, Lord, tonight, even now, that you would strengthen us in all that we do. And help us, Holy Spirit of God, tonight, to be drawn nearer to thee. Thank you, Father, for your mighty blessings. God bless America, and God bless this nation. especially those who are children of God, that we might take opportunity to do good unto all men, especially to those who have the household of faith. Help us tonight, Lord, rightly divide the word of truth, and may the Holy Spirit empower us to lift up Christ in all that we say. In Father, bless those who are working with children in other places in the building, the young people tonight, our youth. We pray, Father, for our brother Jeffrey Sammons tonight. Pray that you be with him as he leads them. And then also, Father, for our shut-ins, bless them all tonight, Lord. And then, Lord, we do pray your blessings upon the nation of Israel and those who are in leadership in this country who still stand on truth. God, help them to be a mighty voice where they are and deliver us from the evil one. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Well, as we have, therefore, opportunity, brethren, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who have the household of faith. Think about all the opportunities that avail themselves upon our lives daily. Sometimes we don't take advantage of those opportunities, but we certainly ought to. You know, writing to the Lord's church at Galatia, Paul explains one among many of the purposes of the New Testament church's existence, and that being opportunity. We're here in this church tonight, and the mission of this church here is to take opportunity to do good unto all men, and especially unto them who have the household of faith. Ultimately, though, the purpose of the Lord's churches is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking about some opportunities today. I thought, you know, I haven't called certain people up here recently because I've been busy, sick, and distracted. So I said, I told them, I haven't called Lucille Wilder for a while. I need to call her. I really do. So I picked up the phone and I called her, and she sounded a little droggy on the phone. She told me later she had a rough night. But when I first called her, I just wanted to try to take an opportunity to be a blessing. And after being her pastor all these many years. So when she answered the phone, I said, she said, hello. I said, hello. And then it was just silent. I said, hello. And she didn't say anything. I said, hello. And she said, you've already said hello four times. And I said, and she said, what do you want? And I said, and then I just thought, well, I'll just play this off, you know. I said, well, are you keeping count? Click. She hung up on me. I'm like, oh, boy. And she's watching this tonight. She's probably like, oh, boy, he's telling this on me. So I just called right back. I thought, well, I don't know. So I called back. I said, hello? She said, first she said, hello? I said, hello? She said, look, I don't know who this is, but I don't want anything you're buying. Click. I'm like, man, I'm trying to take opportunity here, sister, to do good and to all. Yes. And then finally, I didn't call her back for a little while. My wife said, well, when you call the next time, just tell her, hello, this is Brother Head. And so I did. And then I said, that was me you hung up on twice. She started laughing. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. So this guy calls me all the time. And I always say hello. He says hello. And then I just wait, and he goes, hello, hello, hello. And I thought it was him, so that's why I hung up on him. So, but I made it through that, okay. We had a good talk after that. She's a dear sister, and we love her in the Lord, and thank God for our shut-ins. Got an opportunity to see Sister Janine the day before. I think what day was that, brother? Was that on Saturday? That was Saturday, wasn't it? Yeah, no, that was Monday. Monday. Yeah, it's a good, just had a good talk with her there at the gate. And she was telling me how good I look. I'm like, praise the Lord, man, this is good. She's doing good. But good to see these brothers and sisters in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 3, though, in verse number 21 says that the purpose of the church is to bring glory to God's name. Listen to this passage, Ephesians 3:21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So Paul sets forth three essential principles in the ministry of the church as to looking for opportunities. We have to look for opportunities. This is what the text says. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. So, we want to be looking for opportunities. Let's explore this text together tonight as we think about the essentials of what it takes to really strengthen the work of God. Number one, the principle of opportunity is seen here. As we have therefore opportunity. The implication here is that opportunity is something possessed and in the church that God has gifted. God gifts the church for opportunity. In other words, when God gives us something, it's not for ourselves, it is really for the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 says, "But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ." So that means He's gifting all of us in here. There's no one in the church who's a member of the church, saved by the grace of God, who does not have a gift to benefit the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring glory unto the Savior. He said in verse number 8, Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and hear this, and gave gifts unto men. Now the question you should be asking yourself right now is, what has God gifted me with, and what am I going to do with it? Am I going to take opportunity to do something good with what God has gifted me with? So, no one can sit here and say, well, God hasn't gifted me. No, He's gifted all of us. So these gifts are given to the members in particular to create opportunities for the glory of God. Two things that we should all keep in mind as we have these opportunities, as we look for them. Opportunities within ministry, opportunities within the ministry of the church. First of all, these gifts are given to us by the sovereignty of God. We don't deserve them, but God gives them to us. And I think sometimes one of the things that we do is we neglect these gifts. It's not good to neglect the gifts that God gives you. I mean, really. He says, as we have, therefore. You see, sometimes within the church, we get our eyes on the gift, and we fail to look to the giver. These gifts are given to bring glory again to God's name. Every member, again, as I said, has been gifted, and we'll see this as we further explore the text. But we need to give glory where glory is due, and that being to God. So we are gifted by our sovereign God. Listen to this passage here. Or you can turn there with me and look if you like. In 1 Corinthians 4, 7, Paul says to the Lord's church at Corinth, he says this, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory, as if thou hast not received it?" So, Paul is setting forth here the idea that our sovereign God has gifted us. In other words, every gift we have, it was given to us. God gave it to us. We didn't have it of our own. You know, when some people do think they have a gift of their own, you know, you hear people say, oh, they're so talented. And they, you know, they're just talented. Or maybe they think, I am talented. And they try to take the glory to themselves. And when I think about the church, the mix of people that God puts in the church, the diversity of people, and then really begin to examine watching people who exercise that gift, and then know that it had to be of the Lord to bring it all together. Paul sets forth this great truth in another of the Lord, here and rather again in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4 through 7, he said, "I thank my God always on your behalf." He's talking to the Lord's church at Corinth. He said, "For the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus, that in everything you are enriched by Him." You ever feel like that about your life? My life is enriched by Him. "In all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." So, again, the Lord has sovereignly gifted us. So as we have therefore, it is by the sovereign hand of God. Opportunity within the ministry of the church is an overture of grace. I think every church member should be saying to themselves right this minute, right now, you should be saying to yourself, what kind of opportunities do I have here as a member of this church to bring glory to God's name? What is my gift, and what can I do to take opportunity to be a blessing to the others and to bring glory to God's name? Opportunity within the ministry of the church is an overture of grace. Again, we don't deserve it. God doesn't look down and say, Frank, you know, I think you have this personality and you're this kind of guy, and I'm going to use you because I know you're going to be a great guy. The truth is, we're all depraved sinners outside of the grace of God. And even when God does save us, even then God must grace us with these gifts. So we are gifted by sovereignty. We're graced by stewardship. Now this is going to bring it down to where I hope that we can understand. We are graced by stewardship. In other words, when God gives a gift sovereignly, then He wants us to grace, by grace, He wants us to be good stewards of that gift that He's given to us. He said, as we have therefore opportunity. Now opportunity is a stewardship to be exercised within the ministry life of the church. Unfortunately, not all members are good stewards of the gifts they have been equipped with. And you know what happens? When you're not a good steward, that is, by that I mean you're not stewarding this gift. What do I mean by steward? Putting it to practice, using it for the benefit of the church. Then when you don't do that, then that makes the church struggle. I really believe what makes the church powerful is when we are exercising or stewarding. The word is steward because you don't own it. God gave it to you. But putting it to practice for the glory of God. So, if you don't put it to practice, then it's going to cause the church to be ineffective in ministry. In Luke chapter 16, in the first 12 verses, we have the text of the unjust steward. Remember that? Or the unfaithful steward, whichever you'd like to call them. In verse 12, we don't take time to read all that, but in verse 12, Jesus said, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? A while back, I had a phone call, and it was from a church member of the church where my wife and I were saved. And it wasn't a phone call, it was actually a text. And she was saying to me, she's the pastor's daughter, by the way. And she was saying to me, I just cannot believe all that God has done in your life. I can't believe where you are and what you're doing and what the Lord has done. And I just had to say back, it's not me, it's the grace of God. The Lord has done it. The Lord is doing it. But, and when she went on to say, now you're stepping out in another area at this time in your life. And I said, God's called me to be faithful in that which belongs to Him. But you know, if you're not faithful in what God has given to you now, then what makes you think God's going to give you anything else? You know, it's kind of like you're not being a good steward of His grace. Listen to that verse again in Luke 16:12. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man, who shall give you that which is your own? Again, whatever we have has been given to us to be used for His glory. That means to be a good steward of this gift that God's given us. So there's the principle of opportunity. Secondly tonight, notice the principle of outreach. Let us do good unto all men. You know, you're going to meet people a long life's way, and I truly believe that if you want to be used of the Lord, you're going to have to reach out to all men. There's a lot of good outreach, I think, that a church can be involved in, but we must always be sure that the good that we're doing is to be Christ-centered. You know, sometimes you may think some of the things I see just make me scratch my head like that. That's not ministry. That's not Christ-centered.
Do you ever feel like that sometimes, especially on Facebook? You know, I use social media, but you're like, what? That's not Christ-like. Or this is not Christ-centered, is what I meant to say, not Christ-like. But this was the key, though, to the ministry of Charles Haddon Spurgeon in the late 1800s at the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, England. His ministry is, if you go and search it out, I mean, it started off small, and then it just kind of grew, and just kept spreading. And if you read his biography, it's amazing. And he only lived to be 56 years old. When I read it, I'm like, that's amazing. I'll tell you what it was. His ministry was Christ-centered in every aspect. When ministry is Christ-centered ministry, God is well pleased and Christ is glorified. Our Lord gives opportunity to the church that we might labor together reaching others for the kingdom of God. And you know, I was talking to Brother Frank just before the service started tonight. We were talking about the Revelation series I'm doing about, you know, when the rapture takes place, those who are left behind, who are unbelievers, who have heard the gospel, cannot be saved. But who are those going to be saved then? The 144,000 going to be out preaching? It's going to be all of those who have not heard the gospel. Now I know we hear preachers say, I may have been guilty myself sometimes saying, everybody's already heard the gospel. No, they haven't. In fact, no, they will not. But when that 144,000 go out, they're going to be people, I mean, untold numbers, innumerable numbers of people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. A number which no man could number, John said. So, I say that to make this point that there are still people who need to hear the gospel. We can still reach out to all men now. We can still reach out to people. We do that through missions, obviously. And but missions starts right here, does it not? It starts with our family. It starts with our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, and we're preaching the gospel to them. Galatians 6 and verses 6 through 9 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So, again, we should be doing good unto all men. Now the Lord's church has been entrusted, first of all, with the gospel mandate, right? The New Testament church membership is made up of Christians that are commanded to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, this is not an individual mandate, but rather it is a church-wide mandate. And that's why we call it the Great Commission. And when I say that, the Great Commission, I don't even think sometimes that even registers in our mind when we think about that. When we hear the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, you know what we think sometimes? Oh, that's missionaries over on, you know, in a foreign land somewhere. No, it starts right here. Right here. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. It all starts at Jerusalem and follows out. So, there is nothing more needful, I think, for all men that the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ gets to them. How does that happen? It happens through the Lord's church. If you're a Christian, you've been equipped. You've been gifted with the greatest good on the planet. What is that greatest good on the planet? It's the gospel. How that Christ died. Listen to what Paul said. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel message that all sinners need. We must believe, and they must believe, in order to be saved. They can't believe outside of the grace of God. No one can. We know that, right? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So people can be saved by the grace of God. And the gospel, by the way, is the good news. That's what the gospel means. It's the good news. How that Christ died for sinners. How that he was buried and how that he rose again according to the scripture. That's good news. The people who are on their way to hell. Tonight, even in the prayer request, one of the things we mentioned was some of these people that are dying with this COVID in these third world countries, they have never trusted Christ as Savior. That should burden us tonight. But you know what? You don't have to go to India to find people who don't know Christ. We got them right here in our own neighborhood. They don't know Christ. We got them in our own family. They don't know Christ. And if they die without Christ, they're going to spend an eternity in hell. That should break our hearts tonight. Are you looking for opportunities to reach out to others with this message of good news? I think we should be as a church. Notice, not only is this gospel mandate, but the gospel model. What kind of model or example is our church with the gospel? What did Paul say here? He said, "For he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap everlasting life." The church that will not sow, that will not go, will not grow. That's just the way it works. So we've got to be going, we've got to be sowing, and if we do that, we're going to start growing in the things of God. Paul, speaking of the gospel models, opportunity, he said, by the Lord's church at Thessalonica. Listen to what he says in 1 Thessalonians 1:8. "For from you..." This is one of the model churches of the New Testament. Early churches. First century churches. He said, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." What a testimony for a church. This was a model of the gospel. They were preaching the gospel. The good we can do, I think, is to bring to all men this gospel message of Jesus Christ. Now, someone has well said, the church could be compared to a hospital for the sick. I agree. People come here, they're sick. They don't know they're sick, but they're sick. Just watch them. Look at their lives. Examine their lives. They're looking for hope. They're looking for help. They're looking for happiness in all the wrong places. So when they come here, they should find true hope, true healing, true help. You know, the Pharisees were critical. Do you not realize that? Of the Lord Jesus when he was eating with sinners. But you remember what he told them? He said in Matthew 9:12, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." That's right. Your co-workers are sick if they don't know Christ. Your family members are sick if they do not know Christ. If you're here tonight and you do not know Christ, you're sick. You have an eternal terminal disease called sin that will make you spend an eternity in hell without Christ. So, we need to get the message. Now, what is the only hope? Well, surgery is the only hope. That's the only hope. And it's a divine surgery. It's the only way to correct the sinner's condition. And we can't do it. No, we can only bring the sick to the great physician. Yes, only the Lord can do this. So, look for gospel opportunities. I remember years ago, Brother Lybrook preached a sermon here. Look good opportunities. I'll never forget that sermon. Look good opportunities. What he was trying to tell us was, you know, everything you see is not really an opportunity. But you should be looking for good opportunities to preach the gospel. So the gospel opportunities, where are they? Well, they're among our, as I mentioned, they're among our family. They're among our friends, co-workers, and those that God has made opportunity for you to have an outreach. So the principles of opportunity, the principle of outreach. And then what about, finally, we're reminded here, that the church is a place to look for opportunity to do good about the principle of those who are overtaken. He said, especially unto them which are of the household of faith. Now look at verse 1 again. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one with a spirit of meekness, considering thine own self, thyself rather, lest thou be tempted. Let me read that again. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And then he said, bear ye one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Well, let's talk about this. Here's the principle to those overtaken in a fall. The church has an opportunity here, and shouldn't it be something we take lightly. Think about all the members of this church right now. I know it might be difficult, because I know there's like thousands of them. But seriously, think about all the members of the church at Wynton Place Baptist Church who you know right now. Maybe in your own heart of hearts, you know they've been overtaken in a fault. Right? If I just said, well, I'll do it tonight. There's a number of hands here tonight. How many of you know someone tonight who's a member of this church who's been overtaken in a fault? Raise your hand. Okay, well, hold them up there. One, two. There's at least 10 right there. 10 people that you know that are somewhere overtaken in a fault. Now, here's the question. What are you doing about it? That's right. This is what he says. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one with the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, let's talk about this for a minute. So here is a ministry. The church should have a ministry of restoring overtaken people who are overtaken in a fault. Now, here's something to get a hold of. The church is just made up of people, right? That from time to time are going to be overtaken in the fall. Now, I'm going to ask this question tonight. This question and answer tonight. You don't have to answer if you don't want to. But just try to participate a little bit tonight. How many of you say in the last year, I'm not asking for specifics, but how many of you in the last year have found yourself overtaken in a fault? I'll put my hand up first. That'll help you. Have you found yourself overtaken in a fault? All right, good. Not good that you were overtaken in a fault, but good you're here tonight. Well, we all have been there. Why? Because we're just people. Yeah, we're saved by God's grace, but we have a way sometimes of being overtaken in a fault. It could just be maybe saying something we shouldn't say, being somewhere we shouldn't be, thinking something we shouldn't think, involving ourselves in something that we shouldn't be involved in. You know, someone has sadly revealed that Christians are good at killing off their wounded. You know, if there are people in your church that are overtaken in the fault, the worst thing you can do is finish them off. Right? We're supposed to restore them. He said, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one with a spirit of meekness. Now some people will cop out here and say, well, you know what, that's for spiritual people, and I'm not spiritual. That's not a good place to be, to think that way. We want to be spiritual. What does that mean, to be spiritual? It means to be where God wants you to be. It's a sad testimony when people finish off the wounded. If we would do good to those who are enslaved by sin, would we not do good, especially to them of the household of faith? Right? Now, I realize sometimes you can't help people. Meaning simply this, that they don't receive it. I mean, I've tried to help people get back on track, tried to help them, but they weren't having it. No, I'm going my way. So that just happens. But you still pray for those people. Still try to encourage and still try to do good. Help them get back where they need to be. I heard a very sad story this week. I won't mention the name. But a person who I consider to be a brother. I still believe he's a brother. But decided that he was leaving the Baptist church and went and joined a Lutheran church. Man, crushed me, man, just to hear something like that. Wouldn't join a Lutheran church. Well, it just speaks of our time. But you know what? I still love the brother. I'm praying for the brother. I'm praying that somehow, some way, there'll be an opportunity to point him back in the right direction. Sometimes we Christians don't get caught up, entangled in, or overtaken in a fault. And thank God for ye which are spiritual enough that can exercise the ministry of restoration. There's a lot of people out here who need to be restored. Literally. I mean, I'm thinking, they're overtaken. What do you do with it when a person's overtaken? You try to overtake them in love and compassion. How you do that? Which brings me to this last point, the ministry of relief. Bear you one another's burden, verse 2 says. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Here's one that is overburdened. But you know what? He says, go after him. Bear one another's burdens and to fulfill the law of Christ. What would Christ do? He'd leave the 99, right? And go after the one until he finds him and bring him back. Well, here's the person that's overburdened. Jesus was always looking for an opportunity to lift the burden. What did he say in the Gospels? He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Perhaps, maybe it could just be a kind word for somebody. Maybe they just need a kind word. Proverbs chapter 25 verse 11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Yeah, sometimes it's just a word can turn a person around. Perhaps it's a smile on a face. Perhaps it's reaching someone a few dollars that you know would lighten up their load, or maybe invite them out for a cup of fellowship, just to sit around and talk and say, come on, brother, what can I do to help you? The church, though, should be a place filled with opportunities waiting to be found. In one place, I would just say this tonight. I know you're excited about your new pastor, and I want you to be. I'm excited for him. I'm excited to see what God's doing. On the way to my meeting Sunday, or where we are, we went to a funeral actually, but we were gone until about 5 o'clock before we started back home. But my wife and I popped on. That was really nice. Popped on the services, watched them all the way down. Watched Sunday school hour, watched the preaching hour, and I don't know if you really pay attention to what Brother Wynn said. I never met him in my life, but. He preached a good message about what a church should be doing for the pastor and what a pastor should be doing for the church. Probably everybody was uncomfortable listening to it. And I was just saying, amen, praise the Lord. That's good. That's good. He's right on track. And what I thought about that was simply this. You know, you have a new pastor now. And I have counted a great privilege to have been your pastor all these many years. But I would be in error tonight to say that I don't want to see things go forward, that I don't want to see great things. I want to see greater things yet. I believe that he's got the foundation. I believe God has blessed the work here. And there's some good people here, a good core group of people. And I think great things are happening now and in the near future. Well, the church should be a place filled with opportunities waiting to be found. Yes, even church members need to feel that goodness. Listen to it again. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the message. And help us, Lord, to be looking for opportunities, to be to exercise faithfully our stewardship and the gift to the church that you place us in, so that we can be a blessing and encouragement to one another, and then to see others come to know our Savior.